mocked him, cutting and slicing him with a wicked-looking silver blade. Blood spurted up with every angry slice the hooded figure made. I moved my eyes to Larissa, but before I could finish making the move to her mutilated body, Riston was there blocking the way. "Move!" I cried, but he ignored me as he placed his hand on my chest and dropped his magic to seal the wound. His skin turned bright red, his eyes matching crimson as he spoke strange words that caused his hand to glow as he pressed it against my chest and applied more pressure.
"Ryder, she needs more help than I can give her here."
"Not me. Heal her. Please, I need her. Fix her. You can do it. Please, I'll do anything. Ryder, anything. She's my family." I sobbed uncontrollably. His eyes met and held mine with sorrow in their ancient depths.
"She's already gone, Sin."
"No, you're wrong. Fix her. Oh, God, no, don't just fix her. I need you to just fix her. Please. Oh, God, you have to." I sobbed, sagging as Riston started pulling each pin out of my skin. And then Ryder was there.
"Sin, look at me."
Ryder took the pins still protruding from my skin and pulled them free before he caught me and pulled me close against his body.
"She can't be fixed, pet. And you don't want to see her. Not like this, Sin."
I sobbed, my body shaking with each one as what they were telling me sunk in. I couldn't do this. I wasn't strong enough. I buried my face against Ryder as I screamed with everything I had. My body shook hard enough that Ryder had to hold me with both hands to keep it upright.
"Riston, stay with the body and clean it up. Bring her back to the mansion when you finish. I need to take Sin back to Ellerin,"
Ryder whispered as I pushed away from him. "Where's Adam? He was here with her earlier. He was with her. Oh, God." I fought nausea and lost. I bent over and threw up until nothing else would come out. I felt comforting hands pulling my hair away from my face, and as I looked up, I saw Larissa's lifeless eyes staring at me. Her chest had been torn open, and her heart was gone. Everything inside of me closed down. Something broke inside of me and just stopped, and I stopped with it. Sightless, I sat down at Ryder's feet as his eyes filled with grief. "Make me not feel it. I don't want to feel it. Make it stop." He reached down and picked me up until I was cradled in his arms.
"Find the boy and make sure you remove the body first, Riston. No one else needs to see her like this. She deserves better."
Ryder sifted us into the medical ward again. He said nothing as he placed me down on the sterile bed.
"Ellerin, she needs you."
"Again?" Ellerin said as his eyes scanned the damage.
"Riston did well, sire."
His eyes met mine and grew round in surprise to find them glowing. I felt my life draining away. Everything inside of me just wanted it to stop. The pain, the death. I'd given too much. I just needed to sleep.
Chapter 37. Ryder. She sleeps, free from the pain that took her into this catatonic state, broke her mind, and ripped a hole in her already battered soul. She had seen too much. Her mind broke, snapping, as the past clashed together with the horror of watching yet another person she loved be tortured to death. "I want to know why the fuck I couldn't feel her, Riston, only her fucking pain. How'd that sick fuck block me from her?" I snap. I feel useless, something I have never felt before, never want to again. "No clue. I didn't see this play out, Ryder. Her future is unclear to me still, blocked. She's powerful and has a big part to play in saving Fairy. Beyond that, I can't see anything." "Fuck, Riston, I don't care about the fucking future. I want to know why she won't wake up right now. I explode. I hate the vacancy I see in her eyes. She's empty. There's no more fight inside her eyes, and I hate it.
She's catatonic. She has to heal from within,
Eleron says as he walks into the room we sit watching her from. Adrian and Adam had both shown up, along with their guild elder. The two men had wasted no time with questions. Adam shook with denial, and then climbed in the large bed we'd laid Sin in. He'd cuddled her against his chest as tears ran from his eyes. He'd lost his mate. I didn't fucking blame him for needing to hold her, but I didn't like it either. They comfort her, even when she cannot feel them. I want a full research team on the metal pins. I want to know where they came from, how he got them, and what effect they have on her. And I want the information yesterday. Eleron, use the mage if you need to. I want him in pain and screaming to tell us everything he knows and why he went after Sin.
When do you plan on telling them that Larissa's killer is still alive?
Riston asks, his eyes narrowing as he turns to look at me. I don't. Adam would want him dead. I need him alive to tell us who else he is working with. He wasn't alone. He said the others would come. I want them all dead. I'll tell her when she's strong enough, Riston. Right now, I just need her to wake up.
Cynthia. I hear them, their hearts beating, hands touching, connecting with me. I can sense it all, but nothing makes sense. Nothing brings my mind back from where it has gone. I'm awake, but nothing computes. Nothing is real. Here, there is no pain. Larissa is alive, and if I open my mind, if I wake it up, I'd have to feel it, have to admit it. Sleep claims me again, and I allow it. I wake. Adrian is talking to me, trying to pull me from the peace inside my mind. I close him out. I don't want to feel anything anymore. He leaves, and Adam takes his place, but he says nothing. He holds me and cries. It threatens to bring me out, and I go back to the darkness. Someone cradles me. His scent calls to me. It's Ryder, his lips caressing mine gently as he demands I wake up, that I come back to him. His hands comfort me as he holds me against his chest and I sleep, held in his arms. I feel safe with him, and yet I shouldn't. I pace inside my mind, knowing I have to come out sooner or later. It would be so easy to just never wake up, to go into the blackness that takes the pain and holds it at bay. I felt the fracture, the crack inside my mind that I slipped into. It was seductive. The emptiness was comforting. They take turns holding my useless form, comforting it. I wished they'd leave it alone. Every time I need it, it refuses to save the people I love. Every time. The magic didn't come. The fae inside of me failed to help me as well. I hate them both. Everything inside of me is useless. What is the point of having powers if they don't come when you need them the most? Adam lays down his hand, stroking my face and staring into eyes that see but don't register anything. He smiles through his tears, choking on them. Sin, you gotta wake up. I need you. I can't live without you too. She's gone, baby. You're stronger than this. You're the strongest person I know. I need you. Damn it, Sin. I need you. I close him out. Sin, you need to come back. You need to wake up and eat. You're wasting away. It's been days now. We have to bury her soon, and you have to be there to let her go. Adrian whispered as he holds my hand tightly. I close my eyes and sink back inside. Hands touch my face. I open my eyes as Ryder and Eliren stick plastic devices to my forehead and click on a machine. She is in there. See these waves here? Eliren speaks to Ryder. I go back inside.
What the hell? What?
Ryder demands.
It's like she just completely shut off. I've never seen anything like it. There are no brainwaves. She's gone. Gone how?
Ryder explodes.
Like she's dead, but she still has a pulse.
Ellerin says as his hands grab my face and searches it. I open my mind. His machine beeps, and then I close them. It goes silent. I like the silence of my mind. I go there, hiding. I wake up. Ryder's holding me in his lap, his nose buried in my hair. He's whispering encouraging words and then nonsense, words that bring me to the surface but wouldn't allow me to breach it. I'm safer inside, not ready to break through.
I need you to wake up. Your friends have been mucking up my home. They refuse to leave or bury Larissa. You're strong enough for this, pet. I need you to wake up. I need you to stop shutting down or I'm coming in there to get you.
I close him out. Alden comes. He whispers and rubs my hands together, comments to Adam about body heat. I'm not controlling it. I'm losing more than retaining now. I shut him out. I failed him too.
Sin.
Ryder's voice shakes me. I turn around to see him standing in the darkness with me. He's dressed in his cloak, blending in with my darkness. He steps from the shadows and examines me closely. I don't speak. I don't need words here. I slide down the wall of my mind to sit again. He strides forward and does the same, sitting beside me, his hands finding mine and holding them. Comforting and yet not forceful.
Adam needs you, Sin. He's grieving. They need to bury Larissa soon. They're scared and need you right now.
I turn and take him in. His eyes look tired, and his hair is a mess, as if he's been running his hands through it for days without brushing it. Dark circles surround his eyes as they flow over me carefully, studying me.
I need you, Sin. Need you to help me break the fucker who did this. He's alive. I need you to come back to me. Can you do it, Sin?
I can't breathe. My heart kicks into overdrive, pounding relentlessly in my chest. I watched him die. I watched Ryder kill him. I blink and cry out as everything comes back. The pain, the agony. Larissa is dead because I failed. Tears burn my eyes and I try to hold on to Ryder's hand, but he's gone. And once again, I am alone in the darkness. But now I can see light. Someone is crying, screaming with pain so deep, raw and utterly bare that it consumes and takes a hold of me. Hands pull me close as more tortured screaming erupts from within the room that sounds like a wounded animal. My ears bleed from it. The pain is too much. The shaking is too much.
What is wrong with her?
Alden demands.
She's waking up.
Ryder replies from where he's holding my tortured body as it emerges from the depths of despair it had been locked inside. His arms tighten around me, his scent calming, but nothing takes away the pain of knowing I failed Larissa, and she died because of it. I blink as feelings of pain wash through me. I claw at my mind, demanding it let me go, let me out. The screaming in the room is me. It's my own. I sob, my entire body shaking against Ryder as he holds me against him. Adam is trying to hold my pain away with the bond, but he cannot. He releases it with a shudder the instant he felt it.
Put her to sleep. Fuck, it's too much. Too much pain.
Adam snarls, his body shivering from the pain he's tasting from inside of me. I push away from Ryder and look around the room as the scream subsides. I fight my breathing and my mind as it tries to fracture again. I meet Adam's horrified eyes. He knows what I felt, and I hate it. They didn't tell him what happened in that room. He knows now. He saw it when he tried to pull my pain away. It's playing on repeat inside my head. He shouldn't have tried. The room is full of my friends and Ryder's men. They pity me for what I will have to endure, what I have to live with. Where is she? I demand to know.
Sin,
Alden says softly, as if calming a child. Fuck that. Where is she?
She's dead,
Ryder says. My voice cracks, and I shake it off. I fight the tears and the nausea that threatens to come out. I know. Where is her soul? I meet no one's eyes. I don't want pity right now. I want to know where her soul is.
We don't know. We couldn't find it,
Adrian says, watching me. I meet Adam's eyes. He shakes his head sadly. I exhale and nod. It's okay. I didn't want her to be released to the Fade. I wanted her to be born without this life. I wanted her to be able to live and grow old without having to fight next time.
Sin.
Alden is getting ready to say sorry. Why do people do that? Why do they say it? No. No, don't you fucking say sorry. Sorry isn't going to bring her back. Sorry isn't going to make me feel any better, and it damn sure won't fix the guilt. I was crying, sobbing as I struggled to get my point across. She's dead because I challenged him, because I took his puppet away. She died because of me, and I couldn't save her. I have to live with that. What I don't have to live with is any fucking pity or anyone saying they're fucking sorry. The room grew silent as they listened to my sobs. I wiped the tears away angrily and shook my head. I bought the plot next to Adrian for me. Use it for Larissa. She'd want a dress. Something yellow. Her funeral packet is at the guild. Alden, go get it. We bury her as soon as we can get the arrangements together. Now everyone except Adam, get out. When the room had fully cleared, I met Adam's green eyes and held my arms open for him. He fell into them, and I held him as we both cried together, neither one speaking until the last tear had dried. We'd all done the same when we had thought Adrian died. This time there was no chance of afterlife. I failed her, I whispered against his ear.
No, Sin, you didn't. Those pins he used took your strength and all magic. That's how he was killing immortals. There was no weapon, only those pins. Riston said you couldn't have done anything. Not even he's immune to them, Sin. You can't shoulder the blame here. We all knew he would come. We both failed her. I was asleep, for fuck's sake. 3 doors down, and I couldn't feel anything from either of you. I need you too, Sin. I need you to stay awake now. I can't lose you too.
When Adam left the room, Ryder took his place on the bed, his features empty as he watched me. We didn't talk. We didn't need words. We just sat there together, staring at each other. I wanted to say something, but I wasn't sure how to thank him. How did you get inside my head, Ryder? I asked after the silence became too much.
I wasn't inside your head. I projected an image. I had to try several times. You wouldn't let me inside until you were ready. I'm sorry about Larissa. He blocked me from you. He knew you were mine. That won't happen again. I assure you of it, Sin.
Why do people say that? Sorry. It's not like they killed her. I never thought he'd come to the house. She was my responsibility, and I failed her.
You couldn't have saved her, Sin. If you blame yourself, then Joseph wins. He's downstairs, gloating because he knows you're in pain. You are letting him win, just like you did so long ago with your parents. You were a child. If you had tried to take on Faye at that age, you'd be dead. You can't keep blaming yourself for things you cannot change. Trust me when I tell you this. Some things just cannot be changed, no matter how much you want them to be.
I laid my head back down on the pillow and watched as he removed his shirt and crawled back in, lifting my head and placing it on his chest as his fingers caressed my cheek. I felt secure and safe with him. I closed my eyes and placed my hand above his heart, feeling each beat of it until sleep started to sink in.
Sleep's in. I'll keep the nightmares at bay for now.
He whispered and kissed the top of my head softly. Chapter 38. We buried Larissa on a sunny day beneath the old oak tree in the Guild Cemetery to the musical lyrics of the Lumineers' Ho Hey. We followed her wishes with the exception of the roses. She'd wanted yellow ones. We got thousands of red roses. The Seattle Guild showed up en masse to honor one of our fallen and to celebrate the end of the killer's reign, now that he was locked up. No one thought it weird that the Fae were still tight-lipped on how the mage had created a puppet and used her to infiltrate their ranks as an heir. Ryder and his group were careful of what they spoke of when we were around now, as if hiding something from us. I was more worried about if, or when, they would retaliate against the Light Fae for the slight against them. Ariana hadn't been Fae. She'd been a witch from the Seattle Guild. I'd given her peace after 5 years of her soul being torn to nothing more than a wisp of an aura that had once belonged to a beautiful witch. She'd been kidnapped a few years ago, which told us this was much bigger than we'd thought it was. It was good news and bad news. We'd stopped one, but he hadn't been working alone. They rejoiced, while we grieved. There was no winning in this one. Only sorrow as the news cameras and press sat outside the gates, waiting for the Guild and Fae to finally make a press release about how she'd fooled us all. She'd been put together to do just that. The missing pieces had been used to ensure she could do so. We'd gotten a few answers, but once again, it had left us with many more questions that needed answering. It was bittersweet and a grand event. Larissa would have loved to see the cemetery full of vampires, fae, and witches. I don't think any had ever been in the same location of their own free will without there being a threat of war involved before. I hadn't been able to use magic yet, so Alden had done her funeral rites for me. He'd blessed her with enough magic to pass through this life into the next, even though we weren't sure she'd go there, since right now her soul was in limbo. We stood there until everyone was gone, myself and Adam with the 14 Fae who stood at our backs as an unbending wall of muscle. Everyone filed out slowly. Adrian and Vlad waited behind with the Fae until Adrian stepped through and laid a single yellow rose on the casket. He shook his head and turned around to face Adam and myself.
"I'm sorry I put you through this. Both of you."
I met his beautiful eyes, but said nothing. I was barely holding the sobs at bay as it was. I nodded and slipped my arm through Adam's, then leaned against him for support. I had borrowed a dress from the few things Larissa had left at Ryder's house. The idea of going home had me ill. After the funeral was over, we were heading to my parents' house. We decided to move in, if I could do so. I couldn't go back to the apartment, and we were officially no longer welcome inside the Guild, even though we'd found the killer and, as far as they knew, Ryder had taken him out. The fact was, we were Fae, and no matter how much we wanted it to change, it wouldn't. We were having a hard time adjusting, but Adam had found a friend in Zaruk who was teaching him what he would need to know about feeding when the time came. I had Ryder, who hadn't been pushing me yet, but the time would eventually come. He'd been torturing Joseph for days now, and we'd learned he was only one of many seeking to destroy Fairy and any caste who stood in their way. This was why they had gone after Ryder, or so we believed. We still had to figure out who the mage worked for and why he'd targeted Fae in the human world instead of their own. We ended up heading back to Ryder's place first, so we could drop off the entourage and take a smaller group with us to the house. Ryder was being protective, and it was chafing, but at the same time it was nice to have someone else protecting me and Adam for once.
"Sin, I need to see you in my room before we take you to the house," Ryder said, running his hand through his hair.
I nodded and followed him. I hadn't said much since waking up. I'd been a shell of who I had been before, and while I was healing, it wasn't an instant process. It still felt as if I was watching a movie of someone else's life play out before my eyes. When we reached his bedroom, he quietly held the door open for me and closed it as soon as I passed inside. He leaned against the door, blocking my retreat if I wanted to run.
"I can't do this anymore, Sin. Your silence is fucking killing me. I miss the fucking fairy jokes, the light shining in your eyes when you smile. I can't believe I am actually saying this, but I miss your sassy fucking mouth pet."
I blinked at him and shook my head. "I just lost one of my best friends. And you miss my sassy fucking mouth?" His lips turned up until he was smiling. He stepped closer and pulled me against him. His eyes watched me intensely as he did so.
"I need to feed, and I want it to be from you. Since I need to teach you, Sin, I could do both at once. You have yet to hit transition, but it would show you how to when the time is right. If you don't want to, well, I won't force it. You are under contract, and out of everything in it, you didn't argue my feeding from you. Just so there is no misunderstanding between us, I sent Claire back to Fairy when you agreed."
I didn't answer him. Hearing that he had sent her away had created a warm, fuzzy feeling inside of me, though. I smiled as much as I could manage and started clumsily unbuttoning his shirt as I met his eyes, giving him all the answer he needed. I wanted him, and right now he was the perfect distraction. I knew he wasn't the Dark Prince. He was more than that. So much more than that, but I didn't care right now. He was ancient and deadly, and yet he'd been gentle and comforting when I needed him most. I'd signed the contract with the agreement that he would teach me what I needed to know to live. While I didn't embrace the idea of being Fae, I had no plans on dying because I was too stubborn to feed. His hands glided down my back until he found the zipper on the back of the dress and undid it slowly. When it was undone, I let the dress slide down my body to pull at my feet. Ryder hissed, and before I knew what he was doing, he pinned me up against the wall, his knee between my legs as his hand held mine high above my head.
"I hate that I want you, Sin, and I hate that I can't stay away from you, or that no matter how fucking hard I try to get you out of my head, you stay."
His mouth crushed against mine gently as I opened and allowed his kiss to consume me. His other hand reached down and pushed past my panties, rubbing over the nub that lit up my insides instantly. He groaned as I moaned against his mouth, his words penetrating my mind. He hated that he wanted me, as much as I hated that I wanted him. He removed his hand and picked me up as he pressed me against the wall. I ripped the buttons from his shirt, unable to wait to touch his flesh any longer. He grinned as his mouth claimed mine again with a deep urgency I felt in my soul. We moved from the wall to the bed, where he dropped me roughly and continued working the buttons on his jeans until his sex jutted out, ready, with pre-cum glistening on the tip of his cock. He bent down low as I lifted my hips, pulled the panties down and off me, and then held my feet up. He held my legs apart and growled deeply from inside his chest as his eyes feasted on what lay between them.
"I've thought of little else besides fucking you since we left Fairy. Gentle or hard, decide because I can't do both. I need to know what you want."
"Ryder," I whispered, not knowing which I preferred. I wanted both. I wanted him. I ran my hands down my stomach, watching his greedy eyes follow them until I got too close to touching myself. He growled and shook his head in warning. "Just make the pain stop. Make me not think. Make me feel dirty." He smiled wickedly.
"I'm going to fuck you, pet. I promise not to stop until your legs tremble and the only words you can say are more and now. Sin. I'm the kind of dirty that doesn't wash off. Remember, you asked for it."
He went down to his knees, still holding my feet, and used them to pull me forward. his hot breath teased as it fanned against my cold flesh, his tongue darting out to draw small circles on my flesh as he got closer to where I needed him. He stopped, looking up to meet my hungry eyes.
"It might shock you at first. If it's too much, tell me to stop, and we can try again when you are ready."
"Stop?" I was about to ask him what he meant when his mouth touched my core, tongue flicking long, hard strokes over my clit. I was trembling from the sensation when it started. I felt it. The throbbing need was removed with a desire so hot and wild that my body hummed with it. My eyes closed as my head thrashed from side to side as orgasm after orgasm shook my entire body. I was so wrong before. This was why they let them feed. This was why women sought them out. Everything inside me liquefied. My thighs trembled as his mouth continued, his eyes lighting to liquid gold as he fed for me. Me, not Claire, not another woman. He was feeding for me, and I was enduring it. When he stopped feeding, I held his head in place and demanded more. He growled, and I felt him smile against me there. He reached his hands beneath my legs and pulled me closer, forcing my legs over his shoulders as he gave in, sucking hard and soft at the same time. His fingers entered me and joined in the assault. I exploded again, and while I shook from the sheer force of it, when I opened my eyes, he was leaning over me with masculine pride shining in his eyes.
"You are fucking amazing. You are unlike anything I have ever tasted before,"
he whispered, waiting as I rode the ever-growing wave that was rushing through my body. I was floating and falling at the same time. It was like a deadly drug pulsing through me, and yet it was beautiful at the same time. I was lost in his golden glow. His eyes swirled as if an entire constellation of stars sat lost inside their fiery depths.
"I want my cock buried so far inside of this tight pussy. Can I fuck you, pet? Can I?"
He smirked. I tried to speak, but my tongue wasn't working, so it took several attempts before I could. I just laughed and laughed until Ryder was staring at me like I had lost my marbles. I laughed until I cried, and when he scowled at me, I laughed even more.
"Sin."
He wasn't sure what was happening, and maybe I was having a mental breakdown, but I knew he would pick up the pieces. When I couldn't laugh anymore, I rose up and pushed him over onto his back. I straddled his hips, lowered my mouth to his, and nibbled his bottom lip before kissing it gently as he growled his approval. I kissed his neck while my nether region rubbed the moisture he had created over his glorious, hard cock. I knew he wouldn't allow me to tease him for very long. His cock throbbed with need already. He growled low in his chest as I kissed down his jawline, and then lower as I worked my way down his body, nipping and kissing him until I rested above his cock. I flicked my tongue playfully, enjoying as his hips came off the bed for more attention, as my own had just done for him moments before. I took him into my mouth, caressing him with my tongue as he growled and rocked his hips. His hand grabbed my hair and forced himself further inside my mouth until I pushed back up and took more. And then I felt it, a tingle inside of me that demanded to be let loose on him. It wasn't dark or cold. It was intense and animalistic, and yet it wouldn't fully allow me to take from him and feed. I met his encouraging stare and continued to take him in my mouth, watching as his head dropped from where he had gone up on his elbows for support so he could watch me as I took him in. He growled and then cried his release as he came inside my mouth. I didn't stop until he was on his back moaning. It was empowering to know I'd satisfied a glorious beast such as him. I'd made his legs tremble until he exploded. I climbed up his body, as he had done to me, and watched his as his eyes met mine, sated and yet still glowing. I smiled as I felt him grow hard again. He rolled me over beneath him and entered me slowly, his eyes watching me as I accepted him. It was intimate, as if our souls had connected in that moment of time and nothing else outside this room mattered.
You are mine, Cynthia. If any other feeds from you, he will die. Do you understand what I am telling you?
He drove himself to the hilt inside of me, ripping a gasp of pleasure from deep in my chest. I belong to no one, I said, wrapping my legs around him as he prepared to pound inside of me, punishing me for disobeying him days before.
Wrong. I'm claiming you, Sin. Right now, right here. You are mine.
He pulled out, his eyes glowing fire as his brands pulsed beneath his skin, and his hair rustled as if a wind had just swept through the room. He pushed himself in and out until everything inside of me once again started to build toward another climax. I met his thrust, kindling the fire until it exploded and left me shaking while I held on to his shoulders as he pounded into me until the only sound in the room was his flesh meeting mine and our mutual screams of pleasure. The obsidian rings surrounding the gold in his eyes bled over and expanded until his eyes were black pools. He spoke in a strange language which sent a ripple of power pulsing through the room and through me as well. He threw his head back as he found his own release and sagged until his forehead rested on mine as we gained control of our breathing. We lay there for minutes, neither of us wanting to break the silence, the serenity that came with releases. I reached up with my mouth and kissed him, knowing I wouldn't get many more chances to. I was going to turn a new chapter, and I wasn't sure where it would lead me. I intended to help him with the details he'd mentioned in the contract renewal I'd signed, but that wasn't for a few weeks. When I redressed and waited for him at the door, I peeked at him from beneath my lashes. He was so beautiful, masculinity mixed with a sexual allure most magazines would pay millions to photograph. And he'd been mine, even if it was only for a little while. I swallowed the urge to wrap my arms around him. He shoved his arms into the sleeves of his new shirt, since I'd ripped the buttons off of the one he'd been wearing when we'd arrived in the room. He lifted his head and met my eyes. Something showed from within, something dangerous. I blinked and it was gone as if it hadn't been there, but I'd seen it. He wasn't Dark Fae. He wasn't any kind of Fae I'd ever heard of before. He was an unknown that I'd just allowed to feed for me.
Something wrong, pet?
He asked as he closed the distance between us slowly, as if he was stalking prey. Thank you, Ryder, for teaching me to feed, I said, ignoring the fact that I'd caught a glint of something pacing inside of his golden depths, as if it was caged inside of him, or worse, a part of him.
Ryder. She blows my fucking mind. I expected a succulent sample and got a glorious feast instead. She fed my inner beast. He gorged on her glory until I had to fight him for control. He wanted her. Fuck, did he want her? She amazes me. She consumes my mind when she shouldn't. I've fucked thousands of women, but none of them come close to how she tastes or the bloody fucking gasps she makes when I enter her sweet pussy. Those sexy fucking noises drive me insane with need, drive him insane with it. Glorious mindfuck. It took me going in to bring her out. She came out stronger, not broken and shattered, as so many who fold into their minds do. She went through hell. She watched someone she loved die, and she learned from it, grew stronger because of it. She showed no fear as I fed. She didn't succumb as the others normally do. No one has ever asked for more from me. No woman has fully satisfied my hunger before, ever, and yet she just fucking did. She gave until I was full and then demanded I take more. Never before since my transition has that happened. Her eyes colored, glowing enough to show their true beauty, and she's full Fae, full fucking Fae, hidden from us and kept secret. She's royal to her sexy fucking core. Her eyes the most beautiful ones I've seen in my lifetime. Beautiful in her need to feed. And she tried beautifully, like a fucking goddess. She's going to be wild in her transition, and I plan to enjoy her when it happens. She will be mine, brought over to me alone, my cock inside of her, fucking her, tasting her. Impossibly clueless and yet so fucking smart and beautiful. So fucking mine. I branded her, couldn't stop myself and couldn't stop the beast. She saw him, at a glance she saw him push to the surface as he demanded to be let loose, to show her his beauty. Her body begs for my touch, my mouth, my fucking cock. She takes everything I give, demands more, and gives everything back. She's pure. Her touch excites me, makes me feel like an untried youth about to explode in his fucking pants. Her mind is my temple, one I want to examine at leisure, see how she thinks, what she wants, how she gets knocked down and gets right back fucking up without thinking twice. She comes up swinging, harder, smarter, and changed. If the rest of the fucking Fae had half her heart, we wouldn't be in this fucking mess. Our world would be safe. Our children would be thriving instead of dying before they can transition. Her children will be fierce, loyal, and a fucking force to reckon with. My children. I smile at her and watch her eyes narrow. So fucking smart. She knows I'm plotting, planning. She's waiting for me to fuck up, to see what I am. More so now that she's seen him pacing inside my head, rattling his fucking cage to get to her. Soon. Soon she will be ready for him. Soon she will help me track down those who are trying to kill my world while I hunt down the one I seek, the one who can heal my world. She may hate me when it is over. I'll face that when we get there. Until then, I plan to make her mine in body and soul.
Chapter 39. My parents' house was the same as it had been when I had left as a child. Pictures of the three of us covered the shelves my father built, while symbols from the witches' rituals were etched in the thick wood walls. We'd eventually have to redo it and add new wards. Not that any of the other wards had been helpful, since Ryder and Joseph had both walked right through them. I stared at the front room. The furniture had been removed. The new stuff now sat in its place. The only thing that was the same were the walls and the symbols that adorned them. We'd no sooner told Ryder that we planned to move out of the apartments and back into my parents' house that I owned than he'd sent his men transferring mine and Adam's belongings to the yard, while Alden had some of the warlocks from the guild moving it inside. "You cleaned," I said, noting that the floors had been redone, and yet there was no smell of polish inside the room. "Tisk, tisk. You used magic to clean, Alden. I'm impressed." He smiled and crinkled his nose as his eyes sparkled with his mischief. "I didn't want you to have to do it, son. You've been through enough." I grinned. "You heard I was moving in here," I said, not knowing who would have told him we were moving into this old house. I didn't have long to wait as Adam came in from the same direction Alden just had. He smiled, but it no longer reached his eyes anymore. "I called Alden, asked for a little help getting rid of the old stuff," he said. "You two could stay at the guild until this place is ready, Cynthia. You're still family, no matter what anyone says," Alden interjected. "Alden, I'll be okay here. I know now that I was just a kid. I couldn't save them any more than I could have saved." I swallowed as tears rushed to my eyes. "No more than I could have saved Larissa. I can't live in the past anymore. I can't keep blaming myself for everything. I've been told it's unhealthy by a very smart man. I winked at Alden, who stood next to Adam, both of their mouths slightly open at the statement.
Cynthia, I may not say it a lot. Hell, I may not ever say it, but I'm proud of you, girl. To be honest, I thought you'd never stop blaming yourself.
He smiled, his eyes sparkling with unshed tears. Larissa's death had hit us all hard and left no one untouched by the loss of her gentle soul.
Listen, I talked to the elders at the guild. We can't keep you on as an official guild member, but we can always use a freelance team if you're interested.
I nodded, but it wasn't a confirmation. I wasn't sure what the future held. I wasn't sure if I wanted to be part of the guild without a coven, without Larissa. I couldn't even think about it right now, let alone agree to it. I think we're okay for right now, Alden. Time off might be the best thing right now. Adam? I asked, since I couldn't speak for him.
I signed on with Ryder,
he whispered, meeting my shocked reaction with a sheepish grin.
Sin, we need them now.
I signed so you wouldn't have to, Adam. Why the hell would you do that? I screamed loud enough for the Fae outside to hear. Zaruk popped his head in from the threshold, eyes scanning the room for an axe murderer.
Everything okay?
He asked, ignoring me and looking at Adam.
No?
I stomped my foot, grabbing his attention.
You tell the fucking fairy he better get his ass in here this instant and rip up Adam's contract, or he's gonna wish he never met me.
His eyes swung to Adam with pity as he backed up and went to go get Ryder. Ryder came in seconds later, but Adam stood firm, not letting either of us get a word in edgewise.
Sin, this isn't your call. Not anymore. We're no longer a coven. Fuck, we're not even human. You don't get to decide my life. I need this, Sin. I'm not built like you. I don't just take it in and put it inside a fucking box until my mind can handle it. I'm not fucking built like that. And this fucking need to feed on top of everything else is already screwing with my head. And we haven't even transitioned yet. I need this. So no. You don't get to decide my life any fucking more.
He was yelling, but I could hear the tears shaking in his tone.
Okay, I said, swallowing slowly. Don't fucking say... Wait.
Adam paused, shaking his head as he rested his hands on his hips.
Did you just agree?
If it's what you want, Adam, fine. I get it. We're changing. We lost... You lost Larissa, and you need something to keep your mind off it. I understand that. If you need time, I understand. Those are choices you have to make now. I'll be okay. I paused, fighting to keep the tears in my voice from showing as he had done. We were good at hiding emotions. I understand. I'll be fine, Adam. If you need to go, do so. I'll be right here waiting for you when you need me.
That's not what I meant, Sin.
He whispered and walked out of the room with Alden close on his heels.
He needs time. He was planning on asking her to marry him.
Ryder said from where he stood beside the door. I couldn't stop the sob that escaped past my lips or the burning tears as they slid down my cheeks. They hadn't just been dating. They'd been in love. I'd been so fucking blind. I'd been more worried about how their relationship could affect our coven, and he'd been in love. I nodded and turned, looking at the walls as I felt the slight tingle of magic. It wasn't until Ryder walked further into the room that it exploded. Ryder gasped and fell to his knees. I rushed over to him, but his angry look stopped me in my tracks as the room turned a violent crimson color and the walls pushed power out into the room. Ryder's face filled with strain and anger as he ground his teeth together against the pain.
Alden!
I screamed in fear. Something was setting off the wards. A sinking feeling started in my stomach at the direction of my thoughts as my eyes settled on Ryder again.
What?
Alden asked, coming inside and cussing when he saw Ryder on the floor and red, angry walls.
We have to get him out of here, now!
We struggled with Ryder's weight. As if on cue, Riston came tearing into the house and picked him up, sifting outside. "What the hell just happened, Alden?" I gasped breathlessly. "If I had to make a guess, I'd say your parents were worried with the dark fae coming in and taking you away," he said as his eyes went bright with second sight as he examined the wards on the wall. "Wait, this says the darkest fae, or worse." He examined another symbol and shook his head. "This one might say unseelie, but I can't be sure." "As in the darkest fairy from the ancient times?" I asked. I was really beginning to get scared now. He shook his head. "I can't be sure, Sin. Your parents put these up before they brought you home. I don't know where they even got these symbols from. I've never seen them before." "They were protecting you from something, Cynthia. It had to be something bad enough that they put up wards."
"Alden, that makes no sense. Ryder doesn't even know which cast of fae I am. I don't get it. Why all this fucking mystery over me?"
"Sin, be careful. They killed to get to you before, and whoever it was walked through these wards."
His eyes swept to the door, and mine followed. "Ryder, you think they were hiding me from him?" I whispered fervently. He shrugged his shoulders, but I could see the fear creeping into his eyes. He shook his head.
"Let's hope not, Sin. Not when he currently has a contract on you and now Adam. I need to take some pictures of these wards and view them back at the guild."
I nodded, and while he took out a camera and started taking pictures, I peeked out the window to where Riston and Ryder were arguing silently across the yard, with their hands moving and eyes angry. I'd have liked to have been able to hear them, but I still couldn't tap into my magic, and I wasn't about to tap the ley line and see if whoever killed my parents came running to answer the call. Adam had been in and out of the house for the last few days, coming and going without a single word. He was adjusting to life without the woman he loved. I was adjusting, or more to the point, I was trying to get Ryder out of my head and move myself back into a normal routine. It had been a little over a week since we moved in, and things still made no sense. Adrian had been checking in on us frequently, and absolutely nothing kept my mind off Ryder. I was in the shower when Adam came in and hollered that he was back from wherever he'd gone. I smiled sadly, but at least he'd said something. I was beginning to think he was going mute on me. He'd probably gone to the cemetery again. It was where I had gone when I needed to feel close to Adrian when I had thought he'd died. I grabbed the bar of soap and started to lather my body when I felt a slight twinge and then a burning sensation on the right side of my lower stomach near my hip. I looked down and screamed. Angry red flesh that felt as if it was on fire met my eyes and then turned black and crimson. Adam came in, throwing the shower curtains open even as I grabbed it to hide my nudity from him.
"What are you doing?"
I screamed as he stood staring at me.
"Fuck. You smell good. So fucking sweet, Sin," he growled.
I met his eyes and flinched from the heat in them. Emerald and lime green sparkled back at me, glowing. He was hungry. As in, fae fucking hungry.
"Adam, back up, now." "I can't. Fuck, I'm so hard, Sin. Just need to taste you. Just a little taste, baby, please. I'm so fucking hungry."
He snarled just before he lunged at me. I kicked him in the balls and ran to my bedroom, throwing the door closed and locking it. He was pounding on it within seconds.
"Shit, shit, shit. Go away, Adam," I shouted, running for my phone and dialing Ryder's cell. He was the only one who could help him, but he couldn't even come inside the house.
Saruk answered the phone.
"Sin, bad timing."
"Fuck the timing. Adam's chasing me around like I'm a fucking chicken,"
I shouted as more pounding erupted from the door.
"What do you mean he's chasing you?"
Saruk's voice grew tense.
"He said he needed to taste me. I don't want to hurt him, Z. I need help. Now. And you owe me."
Can you get out of the house?
He replied calmly. I'm standing in my bedroom wearing a freaking shower curtain.
I'm sending Riston now,
Saruk said before the line went dead. The door splintered, and Adam's arm came through it. He tried to find the handle from the gaping hole he'd just created. I hung up, looking around the room I'd used as a child. I'd left my overnight bag in the bathroom, and everything else was still in boxes downstairs.
I need you, Sin. Just a taste.
He growled as he gave up on finding the knob, kicking at the door instead. Pieces of wood went flying as he pulverized it and gained entry.
Adam, stop! It's me! You don't want to do this! I cried, shaking my head. The fuck I don't,
he said, already struggling to get his shirt off. Seriously, if I see you naked, Adam, we can't undo that. Ever! I really don't think you understand what you're doing.
I stopped long enough to jump over my bed as he followed me with his head low, as if stalking prey.
He worked to undo the button of his jeans, removing them quickly and efficiently after.
This isn't you. Pull it back. Now.
Oh, and you're naked. I covered my eyes and ran around the bed again, only looking through a small crack in my fingers.
Stop running, baby. I'm so hungry. So fucking hard and hungry.
He snapped as he grabbed the mattress frame off the bed and flipped it against the wall, splintering the headboard into pieces.
Adam, stop, please.
I didn't have a chance to beg him. He lunged and took me to the floor hard enough that my teeth shook from the impact. I struggled to keep his mouth from me as he fought to subdue me. His hands struggled to part my legs. He was no longer my Adam right now. He was hungry, and he was 100% Fae.
Part your legs now. I need in. I hurt. I need to be inside of you. I can make you feel so good. So fucking good.
He parted my legs by force and smiled coldly. I fought the scream as my nails dug into the flesh on his shoulders. This wasn't fucking happening. I screamed as Riston appeared out of thin air and Adam went sailing across the room to hit the wall and slide down limply.
Fucking hell, Cynthia, Riston growled. What the fuck are you wearing?
Why did Adam do this? And my shower curtain? I ground out as I righted the curtain as if it was a dress and struggled to get on my feet with shaky legs.
He's hit transition. He's becoming immortal. And from the smell of it, my little blossoming flower, you're getting close to blooming as well. Damn, you didn't smell like this last week. Ryder will want you close to him now. Imagine an animal going into heat. Every fucking alley cat is gonna come sniffing for a taste of you. He wants you with him when it happens.
That's not his fucking choice, I snapped. I spared a quick look at Adam, who was just waking up. He'd almost raped me. Knowing that would kill him.
Riston, I need him to not know what happened here. He would never forgive himself. He's been through enough. You care too much, Sin. I'll take him home, where he can feed. You did right last week by letting go of him. But consider this. Females in heat bring any fae male with a nose right to their doorsteps, and Adam was weak. He isn't immortal yet, Cynthia. If you're alone when you go into transition.
He shook his head as his silver and black eyes met mine.
God have mercy on the poor fucker who tries to get to you, because Ryder won't.
Cynthia. Vlad smiled as he sifted in, eyeing the shower curtain I held like a lifeline.
Smashing getup. Who knew a shower curtain could be so sexy?
I shook my head and left the room before Adam could see me. I listened as Riston and Vlad, who had sifted in behind Riston, helped Adam up. I had yet to stop shaking from how close I'd come to being raped by my best friend. My only friend. I looked down at my lower stomach. The brand had grown while I'd been running from Adam. It was about the size of a silver dollar. The background looked like a silver disc inlaid with a design similar to a Celtic cross and had three red marks the color of rubies running down the center. Resting on the top of the disc were two red dragons, facing one another with their wings spread, and almost looked as if they were about to fight, or worse, mate. Ryder hadn't just claimed me, he'd fucking branded me. On top of everything, this was the last straw. He'd allowed Adam to sign a contract after having me sign one in order to keep the others safe, once again leaving me no choice. He'd been overbearing, pig-headed, and stubborn since day one. It was too much, just when I was finally getting my life back to normal. I had been slipping back into a routine, and even though I had been in mourning, I was dealing with it and moving on. And now this, branding me like cattle. But branding me was unforgivable. My life was not perfect right now, but it was my life. I'd been offered an income if I decided to take the guild's jobs, and Ryder was also paying me to work for him. I had a roof over my head, and I had Adam. I didn't need some egotistical maniac ruling what was left of my coven, even if it wasn't considered that anymore. I didn't want Ryder deciding any more of my life than he already did. He had enough of that in the last month. I didn't want to be immortal, and I sure as hell didn't want to go into heat like some freaking animal. But then, life wasn't asking me what I wanted. I dressed in jeans and a shirt, flinching as I pulled it over my stomach that felt raw around the side of the mark. I pulled my hair into a loose ponytail, threw on a pair of flip-flops, and grabbed the keys to Adam's car off the kitchen table to head out and confront Ryder. I got no further than his front gate before I noticed something was wrong. The metal gate hung open as if it was expecting someone, so I drove through and parked in the back. Everything on the grounds was eerily silent. No movement, and there was always activity of some kind around Ryder's mansion. I walked across the grass and decided to sneak a peek through the window, since curiosity got the better of me. What I saw was not what I had expected, or anything I could have mentally prepared for. Ryder's men were inside the room, along with humans and Fae set in a line on their knees. Some of them looked battered, if not a little bruised. As I watched, a figure with a hood and cloak stepped up to a male who was already screaming for mercy. I felt chills run down my backbone, and my heart accelerated. A golden haze came from the hooded figure's hands, and the man on his knees began screaming louder the instant it did, a blood-curdling howl that had me covering my ears with my hands. It had no effect on the one using magic. He had no qualms about using his magic on the poor guy. I scanned the room, watching as Dristan came into view. He kicked the screaming man onto the floor and moved to the next male in line. I moved my eyes to the next male, and my blood turned to ice. It was a member of the guild. There were several other men on their knees, all lined up with Ryder's crew standing close behind them. I exhaled a long, shaky breath and scanned the room more. Dristan smiled wickedly, enjoying the cries from the warlock. The fucking warlock. What the hell were they doing to them? And why did they have members from the guild inside the mansion? I watched as he, too, screamed with pain as the gold haze curled around him. I couldn't tell if they were killing them or if it was some sick and twisted type of torture. Matthew moved into view as Savlian shoved him from the line. I knew him from around the guild, but had no idea why Matthew would be here or why Ryder would allow this to happen. I pushed back Bile as he began to scream as the others had, begging for forgiveness and finding none. I watched his eyes roll back in his head and blood poured from his nose as the gold haze from the magic wielder's hand touched him. I covered my mouth to stifle the cry that tried to rip from my throat. This wasn't fucking happening. I stepped back, and my foot crunched over the brush littered on the ground. I looked up and watched as the head of the hooded male came up. "Oh, shit," I whispered, covering my mouth with my hand. The hooded male turned his head as if he'd heard me and looked right at me with beautiful, glowing, golden eyes. This has been Fighting Destiny
The Fae Chronicles, Book 1. Written by Amelia Hutchins. Narrated by Sarah Puckett and Stephen Dexter. Copyright 2013 by Amelia Hutchins. Production copyright by Amelia Hutchins.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.